From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Good day, everybody. Rob Cairns here. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas with Stunning Digital Marketing. In this podcast, I sit down with Vito Palek, and we talk about his product, Bertha.ai, and dip into the world of artificial intelligence. Sit back, relax, grab a drink, and enjoy the conversation. Hey, everybody. Rob Cairns here. Today, we are going to talk about AI products, and I'm here with my rock star, Vito Palek. Hey, Vito, how are you doing today?
Very good. How are you doing, Rob? Thanks for having me.
Not too bad. And you are a rock star, so we might as well get to a little intro. Tell us a little bit about yourself, why I call you a rock star, and how you got into this digital game.
Right. So I actually started building websites when I was 14 years old at my parents' place, taking over the internet and using GeoCities, figuring out HTML and all of these kind of stuff. And the first few websites that I built were for my other passion, which was music at the time. So I built like a small website for my band and a small website for bands that I liked and stuff like this. And so from there, the next 10 years after during my 20s, I actually pursued a music career that brought me here to the UK. We got signed and started touring all over Europe and the world. And it was like a rock band that I was leading. So that's where you got that rock star reference there. But that was also when I got introduced to building websites for clients as a freelancer, literally from the back of a van when I was touring the world, stealing Wi-Fi from McDonald's as we're passing by on the autobahn and stuff. And then once I turned 30, and we kind of put an end to the music chapter, and I started building an agency here in London in the UK. Within a couple of years, I had a team of 12 that were all building hundreds of websites. We ended up building a little more than 800 websites. And from there, we kind of continued the journey, scaling up with a product called Atarim, which is a system that helps web agencies and freelancers build websites efficiently, remove a lot of the friction when it comes to the service delivery. But there's one thing that always kept bugging me, which is generating content on the web. And that is always a struggle. And Rob, as you know, you're building websites for clients yourself. So, it's always like really challenging. And so when this AI technology came about just last year, I was all over this thing, trying to figure out how I can utilize this new quantum leap in AI technology for our industry. And that's what gave birth to Bertha.ai, where I'm a co-founder with Andrew Palmer, who is also one of the more renowned figures in our space.
There's no question Andrew is. And shout out to Andrew. Love him dearly. So he's doing a lot of great stuff as well. So let's talk about AI, because content, as we know and you alluded to, is a struggle. And, we know the problem building websites is you go to a client, you say, here's your schedule. I want your content in 30 days. Oh, yeah, Rob, I'll get your content in 30 days. 30 days hits. Where's my content? 60 days hits. Where's my content? 90 days hits. Where's my content? And then you say to the client, why don't we just hire a copywriter? And he says, oh, that's too much money. And right. I keep saying, well, waiting 90 days is costing you money as well. So how's AI fit into this whole mess?
Right. So this mess we're actually tackling with Atarim in a different angle. Atarim is the platform that helps web agencies deliver those websites. Yeah. And with that, it's a lot about how we frame it for the client. So for what you described, Rob, the first problem is defining it as a 30-day project, because we know that when it comes to actually doing the work, It doesn't take 30 days. It takes a few hours if you know what to do, right? Yep. But then that's the challenge. Clients don't really know what to do. So we're just, as professionals, we're actually in enhancing this pain by telling them that it's a 30-day project, a 40-day project, 2 months thing, and then they never get to it because they don't know how to approach this, and we none of us have 30 days to do anything in this world, let alone something that we've never tried before, and we only need to do it once. So that is kind of how where the challenge comes from the professional's point of view. But from the client's point of view, it's actually facing that blank sheet and saying, now what? You know, and really, it's not only a challenge that client have. Writer's block has been plaguing writers for centuries now, hasn't it?
Sure has. I have a couple friends of mine who are either active journalists with big Toronto newspapers or retired journalists, and we all know it's not just writer's block; it's the creative block. So right. we know creatives do really well when we're on a roll, and we don't do so well when we're having a bad day. Like, it's time to walk away and say, I need to do something else today, really. And it's an ongoing issue. So I agree with you. So let's have the argument, because I have to have it with you.
Sure.
Some people will say to me that AI produces lousy copy. What is your answer to that?
It used to. So basically, if we need to look at this technology as a new thing that is coming into the market. So if you look at smartphones, like 15 years ago, no way it could have done what we're doing with smartphones nowadays, or any other technology, really. The way the technology evolves is always as more of an exponential growth than a linear kind of growth over time. So up until last year, the most advanced AI model for writing that was out there on the market was, let's say, equivalent to the size of a tennis ball, right, Rob? And then a new technology came into the market that, in comparison to that tennis ball, is now the size of the Earth. And when I mean the size, what makes an AI powerful is the amount of data that is fed into it. So the more data is fed into the model, the more intuitive it's going to get, the smarter it's going to become, the more responsive and creative it can be when it comes to generating responses to what you're speaking to it. So you want to think about this really like a person. You know, if it's a baby, you can talk to him as much as you want, but they're not going to talk back, and they're not going to be smart and creative about their responses because they don't have that capacity of knowledge that a grown-up has or an expert has on their field. Now, with the latest advance over the past year, it finally reached that point where when you ask the AI for something, if you ask it properly, if you know how to pull that information out of it, it's going to give you answers that are usually smarter and more creative than even the more savvy writers on the market.
So because we're all headed to AI products, and we'll talk some generalities here, and then we'll get into some specifics. I use an AI product. John uses an AI product, the same one. We both feed the same information in. What's to say the AI product's not going to generate the same responses?
Right.
And then the question is, from a Google perspective, is that a good thing? Because we all know Google penalizes duplicate content for things like SEO, sure, et cetera. Right. What do you say to that response?
So this comes from the way that the AI works. So we are kind of used to thinking about technology and interacting with software in the way that you would interact with an app, or, you know, with Facebook, or mm-hmm. basically with the traditional way of development, which is just if and then, right? It just conditions over conditions, yeah, over conditions. That is the old way of developing. AI works differently. The AI doesn't respond to if I inputted this content, then I'm going to output this exact content. What it does is, again, more like a human brain. When I say this sentence right now, I might have said something similar to this in the past, but really I didn't know that I'm going to express this in these exact words 4 sentences ago from what I'm speaking right this instant. So the way that the human mind words together is through a string of thought. It's not a copy paste mechanism that I just kind of just quote verbatim, you know, from something that I've seen before. I'm just gonna take a few characters and think about the next few characters and then string my way through a sentence and through a paragraph and through a story, really. So this is how AI works. It doesn't give you like chunks of content. It actually works based on what they call tokens, which tokens can be like 3 characters, 4 characters at a time, even if it's breaking the word in the middle. So it could start by saying the, and then figure out because of the context that it was there before, add an RE, and then it's there, you know? And then it's going to continue from that point and continue creating additional tokens, additional strings until you get like a coherent story out of it at the end of the output. So that is basically, that works in exactly the same way as a writer does. A writer has the same level of chance of hitting a plagiarism check, you know, as an AI at this point.
So that's a really good explanation, and thank you for it. Now let's talk about your product in specific. How long did it take Andrew and yourself and your team to develop Bertha.ai?
So we started developing this as an add-on for, or basically a feature for Atarim. I thought that would be an awesome feature for our agencies and freelancers to empower their clients to just click a button, and instead of trying to figure out how to write the content will be presented in front of them, and then they can just decide, yes, this is the right one, or no, this doesn't match, you know. And as we were developing this initially, this... I just saw the possibilities and I saw the power of this thing. And I thought, man, this is way stronger than just one feature out of 100 features that we have on our platform. So let's make a product out of it. And that's when I reached out to Andrew. And Andrew and I have been friends for a long time now, almost 3 years. We met in through WordPress and in a conference a couple of years ago when it was possible to meet in person. And since then, we've been basically chatting on a weekly basis and partnering up with all kinds of different things. So that felt like a good opportunity to take our friendship and partnership to the next level and develop this product together. That took from the first time that I actually got into playing with this technology until the time it was out on the market. It was about 6 months or so.
So that's a really good story. And why Bertha.ai versus some of the other AI products are out there? What does your platform do better that some of the other ones do not do well?
Right. So the first thing is the only one that is integrated to where the action happens. We're built into the website itself so that when you're generating the content, you're actually pushing this directly into the page builders in WordPress or the Gutenberg UI or into your SEO tools, the SEO plugins and all of those kind of things. So it just kind of cuts the middleman of copy pasting and from other platforms or logging into other platforms and then doing it there, copying it into your own website. So it just happens where the action is. That is the big one. Now, more than this, there's all kinds of AI tools that are case specific. So as I mentioned in the beginning, Rob, when it comes to this technology, it's not enough that it knows so much. It's a matter of how you pull the right information out of it. And so some people that are really amazing email marketers or they've been dealing with like support for years, they created AI-based tools using the same models for generating emails, right? So you probably find a few Chrome extensions that go directly into your Gmail account, and they would automate the writing or the systemize and automate a lot of the email writing that you have, because these people have a lot of experience with writing emails. Some others are really geared toward straight up like marketing talk. So you would find some tools that are creating content for social media and for Facebook ads, Google ads, and so on. Where Andrew and I are our experience is very powerful is in websites. So the level of intricacy and the creativity that you would get from our outputs when it comes to creating website copy is really unparalleled compared to anything else on the market.
Yeah, people don't realize that certain tools are geared better to certain tasks. And that's something you've touched on. And I wholeheartedly agree. I'm more a get the right tool to do the job and then move from there, instead of getting one tool that does everything, like the Swiss Army knife approach. And personally, that's not always my approach. I prefer the specific approach.
I agree. I believe that a lot of it comes from, you know, as a product maker, I see it myself. A lot of these focus points comes just from the experience of the founder or the founding team. Mm-hmm. You can only bring to the table what you know. So you can try and create, you know, I can try and take a stab at writing amazing emails, you know, that are very specific. I might do a pretty decent job because I have been writing emails for a long time, but it's not gonna be at the same level as someone that this is their sole focus. This has been their sole research topic for the past decade or so. So that's why, like, so we also have some marketing related stuff. And as you know, Rob, I'm also I've had quite a bunch of experience in marketing, but again, it's nothing compared to, you know, building more than 1,000 websites between Andrew and myself, and going through the challenge that you described at the beginning with each client and each project, and taking content and fitting it into the right direction. And, you know, so we brought all of this experience and we shared this experience with the AI, so now that everyone can access it in a click of a button.
Now, you mentioned that your product is both geared to page builders and Gutenberg. I have to ask, did Gutenberg cause any big challenges doing the setup for it?
It did.
Can you share some of those experiences?
So first of all, like, you know, most text areas are basically fields. So if we're going technical a little bit, a text field is a text field. You know, it's basic. Yeah. It's a basic HTML element for almost 3 decades now, right? But Gutenberg does it differently. So we had to account for how Gutenberg generates or allow you to write inside those different blocks. And while, you know, we did like one function that worked for 90% of the web, then we had to do the 10% extra percent for Gutenberg and, you know, some very specific use cases. So that was basically the biggest challenge there. But, you know, like every challenge, if you put your mind to it, you can figure it out.
It's true. And as you say that, I'm kind of smirking and smiling at you and nodding my head, because I don't know if you know, Vito, I'm kind of all in with Gutenberg these days. And I think I know Andrew's played a lot with it as well. And I kind of, you know, it's kind of divided our community a little bit at times. And I think good on you for developing Bertha.ai for Gutenberg and for page builders. So you've realized there's a market in both places. And I think that's really important with any product moving forward, to be honest with you.
I'm still on the fence with the Gutenberg thing. So we're using this internally within my within my companies for blog posts, you know, mostly. But we're not at the place where we're using this to build pages and so on. We're still reliant on page builders for this purpose. And I have a feeling that we will for at least one more year or two additional years before we take the dive, you know.
Yeah, I've at the time of this record, those who have followed me on social media know I've taken the dive. I'm in the process of moving my agency site to Gutenberg. So hopefully by the time this is released, I'll be fully moved. And frankly, I did it more as an experiment to say, okay, if I can do this, what can we do with Gutenberg? And I'm not knocking page builders. I'm very much in the camp that you use a tool that works for you. And I think we need to stop worrying about that. But that's an interesting discussion. So, you know, we got to keep deciding what to do there. In terms of Bertha.ai, how many... Do you mind sharing, like, roughly how many people do you have using it, or would you rather not at this point?
Well, we launched this 2 months ago. We're now a little more than 1,000 people that are already using the tool. And Black Friday that just ended was a great time for us, especially as a brand new product. You rely on early feedback from users and you know, early adopters, people that are willing to jump on something that is trying to change the landscape to something that is completely different. So what we've seen from our users, I think one of the phrases that I like the most is that one of the users called it the lorem ipsum killer. Yep. So basically just trying to change the way that we approach creating content. So instead of dropping lorem ipsum, just dropping this in there. It's still early. I think that every website in the world eventually is going to be relying on a tool like Bertha or Bertha, exactly in the same way that when you and I started building websites, Rob, we were doing it all manually, right? We were writing HTML before there was CSS. Then CSS came in the game and we wrote up the CSS and all those kind of stuff. But now with page builders and with Gutenberg and all these things that we're just talking about, it just cut down 90% of the work. So this is exactly the expected and the actual result that you would get by leveraging technology for all kinds of aspects of the website, not just the design, but now with content as well.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, and I'm sitting here thinking, taking myself way back, and one of the first websites I ever did was actually a resource page, because I worked in technical services and I got fed up with friends and family calling me for internet links. So I actually created a website to say, by the way, go here and don't call me kind of deal. And that was all HTML based. And then we moved to things like page builders and WordPress. And it's funny because the same people who are using page builders to increase their speed, increase their time, can't get their head wrapped around AI products and realize it's the same thing for content that a page builder and a CMS is for developing websites.
Exactly. Well, you can see that in all kinds of different aspects of our day-to-day. And, you know, even when we were talking about SEO tools, you remember what a nightmare it was to properly, you know, like map out what keywords you need to do and figure out the density. And I would actually count the times that you would write the string in the text manually. You would write it up in Word, and then you would count that you have at least 7, but not more than 10. You know, so. All of these things are like, you know, we forget, but these are things that are fully automated for us nowadays. And how many H2s, how many H1s, only one is the answer. How many add italic to here, some bullet points. So all of these things we've done manually, and now the SEO tools just give you everything that you need in there. But then again, you have stuff like Photoshop. So... when I started, you know, designing in school, we had this kind of graphic design class, And we're using Corel. I don't know if you remember that software.
I used to do work in Corel Draw, so I do remember that software. Exactly.
So then Photoshop came into the game, and it made it a lot easier. And now Canva came into the game and made it even easier. So technology always moves, you know. So you just want to make sure that you keep moving with it, and if you do, you're just going to be at the forefront, offering or getting an edge over those people that are lagging behind.
Yeah, I so heartily agree with you. I mean, you know, and now we've all got voice assistants. I don't dare say the word because I've got one next to me, and, you know, it will start to talk to you and I very quickly. You know, at home, I've got, you know, I can say this because this is being recorded after, but I'm putting in a, for my mom over Christmas, I'll be putting in a Ring doorbell, and, you know, technology changes. And, you know, everybody complains about technology enhancements, but honestly, where would our life be without them, right, Vito? I mean,
I agree. And, you know, I think that one of the more common pushbacks on the latest advances of AI is, now what's going to happen? All of the internet is going to be spammed out with content that was generated by machines. But really, that already happened.
It's already, you know, before we went to record, you and I were talking about LinkedIn, and we were talking about messages and stuff, or we all know the phishing scams. If I look at my email this morning, I've already got 10 SEO companies saying to me, we can help your search ranking. And I'm like, if you found me, then obviously it's working. And did you bother to look at what I do? Right. And then you toss in the phishing scams and the fake government emails I get every day, and the internet's already spammed out. I mean, it hasn't changed, right?
Yeah. It's just been automated, a lot of these things. But, you know, people have been knocking on doors before there was the internet, and then they were cold calling people, and now they called email, and then they called friend request you. And, you know, it's our behavior that is just doing this. It's not technology that enhances this. Or even, you know, when people talk about social media and Facebook and how that is bringing out creating divisiveness in society and all of those kind of things, it's just the same. You know, like when you were there before the age of social media, you would just get all of your data or all of the information from the people around you. It's not that you were really exposed to everything, and because, you know, like social media is going to show you what you know of, but it's going to show you more of what you already know of, right?
So true.
That already happened, you know, like people that were geared towards a certain political side from their family, in most cases, they just kept with the same thing as they were growing up, because my dad used to, my grandfather used to, and, you know, that. So it's just human behavior that is creating those scenarios. But if I'm going, sorry, I went off track there.
It's okay. I mean, human behavior, I've always said for years, and you know me well enough, I say that the behavior is the problem, not the tool used to cause the behavior. So, you know, and I've been using the internet since the days of BitNet. And before the days of BitNet, I used bulletin board systems. So I've been in this game longer than most people. So, and by the way, this kind of stuff was going on before Facebook. So people need to realize it's the people, not the not the tools. So going back to Bertha.ai, what is your current pricing as somebody wants to get in on Bertha? Your straight up pricing.
So the pricing changed. So I'm not gonna describe exact numbers. I guess you gotta go to bertha.ai/pricing and see where it stands now. Because as we're growing and as we're building more stuff, the prices change accordingly. But I will say that one of the cool things about this, so there's basically two variables to the pricing. One is the number of words that can be generated from the AI every single month. So every month you get like a pool of words that you can generate out of this. And this is in all of the plans, it's in the tens of thousands, if not more. But what makes Bertha really special is the ability to install this on multiple websites. So this way, if you have multiple clients, and we've seen this with agencies and freelancers that are basically going for the higher plans that have a bunch of websites on them, and then offering this as an add-on to their care plans for the clients. If the client is generating blog posts, or they have a Woo shop with a bunch of products, or they have an LMS with lessons or content that they need to do, or maybe like you, Rob, when you're creating those podcast show notes and all of those kind of things, this is perfect. You know, you can generate content on the go every time that you need it without needing to face the blank sheet. You know, just click the button and you go right there. So agencies and freelancers creatively started charging an additional fee for this service, for the ability to use the AI within people's websites. And I love that. I think that's really an awesome idea.
Do you offer a white label service for agencies, or have you thought about that?
We don't actually, but just because there haven't been any requests with Atarim, we've done that because that was like a really, yeah. it made a lot of sense over there. For this one, not so much at the moment. But I can also say that with a few lines of CSS, you can remove any mention and, you know, just hide display none the logo.
Yeah, that is so true. And you know, I think the community's really done well with this one, because both you and Andrew are two of the most energetic people I know in the space. So that's,
thank you.
You know, your energy is always really good. You're both approachable. You both are very generous with your time. I mean, I've had many a conversation with both of you over the years, and I think that's really important. And you're always, Vito, very good with your time. And for that, I say thank you. I appreciate that.
It's my pleasure, Rob. It's always fun to catch up, and to, even if we're not recording, just to see what you've been up to, man.
Yeah, it never ends. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you to talk about Atarim or Bertha.ai or anything else you're working on, how's the best way?
So you can find me on Twitter, Vito Peleg, or you can find me in one of the two Facebook groups. So you can search for Atarim on Facebook, or search for Bertha on Facebook. And we have really active communities for both of these awesome products. So just come on in and learn and grow with the community.
Yeah. Vito, thanks for your time, and please take care of yourself and be well and be safe.
Thank you. You too, Rob.
Thank you.
A very special thank you to Vito for joining me on this episode to talk all things Bertha.ai and artificial intelligence. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did having it with Vito. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the SDM Show. The SDM Show is brought to you by Rob Cairns and Stunning Digital Marketing. For more information about Rob Cairns and Stunning Digital Marketing, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.info. From here, you can connect to us on social media, go to our website, and even go to the podcast to subscribe. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. Dad, I miss you very much. Keep your feet on the ground. Keep reaching for the stars. Make your business succeed.